Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
On Wednesday of this week, Ukrainians who've been living in free accommodation reached their 90-day cut-off limit. Notices have been put up in designated accommodation centres around the country, informing residents that once they reach their 90th day, their belongings will be transported away and that they'll have to find their own places to stay. Meanwhile, 96 IPAS applicants who've been granted asylum and who've made their home in Boris-Ucane in County Tipperary are facing eviction. These include families with children. I'm joined now by Emma Lane Spollen, who's National Coordinator of the Ukraine Civil Society, and by Mags Donnelly from Boris-Ucane. You're both very welcome to the programme. I might turn to you, Emma, first of all. What's happening on the ground, I wonder, with Ukrainians who are faced to leave their accommodation after the 90-day cutoff?
Yes, so these are people who have recently left the Ukraine. So they've literally, they're refugees. They've been living for the last number of years with the bombs and the sirens around them. They've arrived to Ireland and now the policy changed. And so now they have 90 days. So just coming here was a traumatic decision. And then they have to find accommodation in this country. And you can just take a moment to imagine what that must be like. You're falling onto the kindness of strangers, effectively, because it's a cliff edge, because it's a hard no. There's no access to homeless services. There's no emergency B&Bs, as you would expect for Irish people who become homeless. And this is not driven by a lack of beds. There are over 2,000 empty beds being paid for in the system. It is an extremely cold and callous policy. And I would also just like to acknowledge that there are people across the country and local authorities, community organisations, the Red Cross, who are working tirelessly to try and find pledges and hosts to meet these families' needs. But there's 30 to 40 people a week who are now going to be facing homelessness, street homelessness.
And what will they do
in the next?
What will they do?
This is the problem.
Because the government says
this is the problem.
The government says that this is simply bringing us into line with other EU nations. But for a family, and it is sometimes a family with children facing no state accommodation, state-provided accommodation after the 90-day cutoff. What will they do? What's your experience?
Well, see, the problem is it only kicked in 2 days ago, so we're in the very early stages of this. So far, organisations like the Red Cross have been able to try and find solutions for people, to find homes that will take them in. But our fear is that it's unsustainable, that, you know, within, you know, especially we're going into the summer months, it's going to be very, very difficult. And it is street homelessness. There's no help or support to return, just to move to a third country, to return to Ukraine or anything like that. So only yesterday, we had a woman in her 70s with a Zimmer frame in Dublin trying to access emergency support from Simon. I just don't think that's acceptable. And I don't think anyone in Ireland believes that that's acceptable. We should not, and we should not have even the threat hanging over a child, a disabled person, a sick or an elderly person who is a refugee, that they'll be put on the streets.
Well, we're not going to
face the threat of it.
We're not going to see, Emma, women in their 70s or 80s or even children in tents in the street, are we?
I'm afraid that's the scenario we're facing. And that's what's really, really worrying, because it's creating a crisis in individuals' lives, but it's going to create a bigger crisis for us when there are beds available for these people. It is a point that I thought we would never cross.
But I thought that the government are saying that they are prioritising families. Isn't that correct?
Well, they're not prioritising anybody, because the government has said this is 90 days and that's it. And then the department has wiped their hands off it. So that's the official line. Now, what I mean, I really do feel for these amazing and excellent civil servants who are being forced to implement this policy that cannot stand over it. And I think we have to recognise that. And therefore, there are people in local authorities and others who are trying to find pledges and homes that will take these families in. But it's not easy. Family, if you'd say, you know, parents, three children, grandparents, like, it's very, very difficult. We are in a housing crisis. But what really bothers me is that this was a scenario that we raised several years ago, before the war. You know, when the war started, we said you have to start planning for the medium term, and the government hasn't. And now we're faced with this situation. And I just don't believe we're doing the right thing. And I don't believe that the Irish people would believe this is the right response. We need a proper humanitarian response, and putting people on the streets is not that.
Yeah, the government would say, of course, that they have accommodated an awful amount of people, a huge amount of people over the last 2 years or so. But I do understand the point you're making. Stay with me, Emma Lane Spullen, if you can. Mags Donnelly's on the line as well from Boris O'Kane. Mags, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much, Colin.
What's happening to families there in Boris O'Kane who've been granted asylum?
Well, the families came here initially in 2019. And because of COVID and that, all of their applications were put on hold. So they have, it's an apartment building that's privately run, housed initially 16 families and then 20 families. For the last almost 5 years now. Mm-hmm. And we formed a liaison committee at the start in case there were issues or anything like that. But unbelievable. I mean, they are the most wonderful, wonderful families. But since February, they were issued eviction notices. Now, when we agreed to allow, because at the time, of course, there's a lot of contention around the country of immigrants coming in and a lot of horror stories of whatnot, we met with the Department of Justice and Equality, which they had the equality at the time in their heading, our local council executive, our local councillors and ourselves, and we came up with an agreement that if these families, if and when they received their status to stay in the country, that they would be allowed, with either the assistance of HAP or their own financial means, be allowed to stay in those properties.
That was agreed, was it, Mags?
It was. It was agreed in, and it was signed by Mark Wilson. And the agreement was there.
We had three. Is that then sorted? Like, is that what the families are doing?
It is what they were doing until it all came to a head there in February, when the families came to us and told us that 10 of them had gotten eviction notices to leave the property by July, and the rest of the families will be issued eviction notices within the next few weeks.
And what will they do?
But sure, what can they do? A bit like what's been said there. I mean, there's nowhere to go. There are no properties. All of these families, between, like, there's 27 young children in our local primary school. There's more in the secondary school. They're so involved in our local soccer, GAA, twirling, ballet, athletics. I mean, they're part of the fabric of Boris O'Kane now. They're the same as ourselves. They're families. They feel safe. They feel at home here. And now it's just literally, like, I mean, pulling the mats from underneath them and just sort of saying, off you go there now.
I know you're holding a public meeting tonight. Can I read you a statement that we received from the Department of Integration? You might give me your reaction to it. They say, IPAS has a specific transition team who work in collaboration with DePaul Ireland, the Peter McVeary Trust, the Department of Housing, local government and heritage, and local authorities to support residents with status to exit IPAS accommodation and access other housing options. Those with status, they say, have the same housing entitlements as Irish citizens and are supported to register with a local authority and, if required, to avail of the Housing Assistant Payment or HAP to secure alternative accommodation. In addition, the department says, those with status have the same social welfare entitlements as Irish citizens. What's your reaction to that? Because they are not, it is the department saying they do have, if you have status, you have some rights as well.
Oh, absolutely. Look, this is not our contention. This is the fact that the agreement was made that once they arrived into these houses, they could make it their home permanently if they so wished. They have all been trying to find alternative accommodation over the last couple of months. It cannot be got. Now, there's the vast majority have qualified for HAP, and others then, because of the jobs they're in, they are all willing to pay the rent for the properties down there. They don't, it's not like begging and screaming, looking for money, financial assistance. They just want to be allowed to stay within the area here that they now call home.
And can I ask you this? I'm sorry to cut across you. What do you want to achieve from your public meeting tonight then?
We want the department, which is now, it's being passed from pillar to post for the last couple of months. Over, it's not in our remit. That's not got to do with us. We've been going from Department of Justice to the Department of Children, Equality, Disability, Integration and Youth, Minister O'Gorman's department. And even the whole title in that is, it's almost laughable, because it doesn't seem that any department that are over this, these children, equality, disability, integration. They're shoving integration at every community across the country.
But you want effectively, you want these people to be allowed to stay, isn't that it?
Absolutely. And they themselves want to stay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, it's without doubt a really challenging and complex situation all round. Let's see what comes of your meeting and if there is a response. Mags Donnelly from Boris O'Kane in County Tipperary, thank you very much indeed. And Emmeline Spullen, who's National Coordinator of the Ukraine Civil Society, thank you as well for your time.